Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that you just anoint this place, Lord. I pray that you anoint this congregation. I pray that you anoint this sermon, Lord, and that you use me to speak your true and loving gospel to each and every one here today. May your Holy Spirit be present in every word, and may we forever boast in your name and not our works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, all right? Today my sermon is entitled, Freedom in Christ Alone. Amen? All right, let's celebrate that. Amen? So I'm excited to preach this text, and I'm even more excited that we are all children of the free woman. Amen? Children of grace, not children of slavery. Amen? So Galatians, we've been going through Galatians. Galatians is a book concerning how someone gets right with God. That's what we're discussing, how we get right with God. Amen? Here in verse 1, Paul is telling the Galatians to walk again in the truth that he had previously presented to them, that they'd gotten off track, and he's telling them to walk again in the truth. He's saying, what have you guys done? You need to walk again in the truth. So, verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The fact is that Jesus has set us free. If we decide to live in slavery to a legal relationship and follow rules, it isn't because God wills it. God pleads with us every day to take His strength and His yoke and to walk in His peace. He doesn't want us to be burdened by a yoke of slavery, and we don't have to be. What we're dealing with today in today's text are a group of people, the Gentiles, who were led astray down the wrong road. And that wrong road was salvation based on human merit or human accomplishment, performance. So these Judaizing teachers were trying to bring them back under the bondage of the law. And the Jews at that time, they didn't like the fact that they were proclaiming Jesus on the cross. They were totally against that, and that's why they were trying to put the law back on the Gentiles. Amen. So whether it's Old Testament law or some other gods or idols made up law, it's people thinking that they are saved or made more right because of what they do and don't do, rather than trusting in the cross. Amen. So, I wanted to read to you what some of the other religions believe you have to do to be saved. Amen? Jehovah's Witnesses. They say that salvation is to be baptized as a Jehovah's Witness. They say most followers must earn everlasting life on earth by doing door-to-door work. That's why we see them on the corners all the time. You know, they're not just working for God; they're working for themselves. They're out there trying to earn their salvation. Amen. So, and they also say that salvation is limited to 144,000 anointed ones, and this number has already been reached. In my studies, I found that 144,000 number came from in the 1800s when they first started Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Russell and the leaders didn't think they were ever going to reach that number. They believed the Lord was going to come back, and at their appointed times that they kept predicting, and that they would never reach the 144,000. So once they surpassed that, it kind of bit them, right? So, and then in Mormonism they say that resurrected by grace but saved, exalted to godhood by works. So once again they're saying by works, including faithfulness to church leaders, Mormon baptism, tithing, ordination, marriage, and secret temple rituals. No eternal life without Mormon membership. So they got a lot of work to do as Mormons, right? They're really trying to earn their salvation. Seventh-day Adventists say salvation by grace through faith. They got that part right. By maintained by commandment keeping and repentance. Seventh-day. They also say that Saturday Sabbath observance is a sign of God. Sunday worship is a mark of the beast. And that Satan is the scapegoat to be punished, to take to the lake of fire for the sins of the saved. Christian Science says humanity is already eternally saved. Sin, evil, sickness, and death are not real. Just some examples that, as not only as Lutherans, but as Christians, we believe we're saved by Christ on the cross, and that is the truth. That is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are not saved by works. Amen? John 14:6. So it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen? And that's what we believe. So Paul's reminding them that Jesus died on the cross for the atonement of all their sins. All we have to do is admit that we are sinners and accept God's grace and mercy on our souls. Amen? That's all we have to do. The problem is, some people don't want to admit their sin. And they don't want to live for Christ. They would rather just try to earn their salvation or believe that they've already earned it so they can continue to live in their what they think is freedom. But true freedom is found in Christ. Amen? So me and my wife, we have she has a brother, my brother-in-law, in Mexico, who leads a homosexual lifestyle. Because of some abuse, he was abused at a young age. And he's been through a lot, and we love him unconditionally, you know. But most of our family in Mexico are Catholics, and they have some different beliefs when it comes to salvation and atonement for your sins. My brother-in-law has been taking care of my mother-in-law because she now requires 24-hour care due to some health issues, okay? So she can't walk by herself. He has to do everything for her. And one day while he was caring for her, a friend of the family came over and saw all the work that he was doing to help his mother. And she told him that because of these works, and I forget, there's a phrase that my wife used in Spanish that they say in Spanish, but because of the things he was doing for his mom, that he had already earned his salvation. And it didn't matter what he did in his life or how he lived his life, that he had earned his salvation. So this is, you know, just another example. So now, in part because of this, he continues to live this in his lifestyle that's sin, that God does not condone. And there's no joy in sin. And there's no salvation without repentance. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, I'm going to read it for you, says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were." This is Paul talking. "That is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Amen? You can't take away from that. Because they repented and they gave their lives to Christ, you know, they were saved. Now, the Lord does not mince His words. Amen? These verdicts are direct and they're to the point, and it's a never-changing Word of God. Amen? We are called to love all people to Christ. And we preach that all the time here at Amazing Grace. But this is the never-changing Word of God. This is the living Word of God. And it's not because of what we do. It's because of what He's done. Amen? Amen? Now let's talk about the danger of embracing the law as a way of walking with God, okay? The next verses say, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all." And then he says, "Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law." So, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So, when we embrace the law as our rule of walking with God, we must let go of Jesus. You can't have both. He's either Jesus is our righteousness or the law is our righteousness. Amen. When we attempt to earn it ourselves, we're attempting to have the law be our righteousness. And the prophet Isaiah said, "The righteous things of man are like filthy rags to God." Okay. Now remember, if you try to earn your salvation by the good things you do, God's also going to keep track of the bad things you do. Amen. There it is. Just imagine God walking behind you with a clipboard, writing down everything you ever did, ever said, ever thought. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want God to judge me by my words. Amen? I know I'm not worthy. When God judges us, He compares our works to His holiness. I don't think any of us want to be compared to God's holiness. Amen? But with Christ to intercede for us, there's no condemnation. Amen? Amen? Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now the legalists or the Judaizers among the Gentiles in Galatia wanted them to think that they could have both Jesus and a Mosaic Law relationship with God. They were tricking them into it, right? So the truth is, as we all know, that the blood of Jesus is all we need to have a relationship with God. Amen? Not by works, so that none may boast. That was going to be the title of my sermon. So Paul's telling them that they are not... No. Paul's telling them that what they are doing is not an option. It's not an option. The system, I love this. The system of grace and the system of the law are incompatible. The system of grace and the system of the law are incompatible. They cannot coexist in our faith walk. Amen? Calvin said, "Whoever wants a half Christ loses the whole Christ." Amen? We got to be, God wants 100% of us. Amen? The next verses say, or those verses we talk about, circumcision. The circumcision that Paul is speaking of was a seal of the law for the Judaizers, okay? Everyone had to be circumcised. He who willingly and deliberately underwent circumcision entered upon a contract to fulfill the Mosaic law, okay? So, as we all know, fulfilling this law completely was and still is impossible. We can't fulfill the law, the Mosaic law, amen? Which means the law of Moses, okay? Which is why Christ died for our sins. That's why Christ came. The law was only there for us until Christ worked on the, until Christ came to die for our sins. Amen? So, relying on our works rather than on the cross makes Christ unnecessary. That's the last thing we're going to do is make Christ unnecessary, right? Martin Luther said, "Tongue cannot express nor heart conceive what a terrible thing it is to make Christ worthless." Amen? We don't want to be a part of making Christ worthless, right? So whatever battle we're in, whatever sin we're struggling with, remember, the war's already won, the bail's already paid, and we are no longer slaves because of the victory that we celebrate in Christ Jesus. Amen? Next verses say that by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is expressing itself through love. Through love. The Lord has made a covenant with us, and His covenant demands that we respond in repentance and faith, perseverance and obedience, initially and continually. So you see, there is a human element in salvation. And that's because we're created in the image of God. And the human element is, yeah, it's not by our works, but we do have to admit, and we do have to accept, and we do have to ask for God's forgiveness. Amen? So that's our part in it, right? So there is a little bit of work in it, right? We do have to make that decision, okay? Those truly walking in the Spirit wait for the righteousness by faith. They're not trying to earn it by performing works. No one is a legalist through the Spirit. So once again, the system of grace and the system of law are incompatible. They cannot go hand in hand. Amen? It's freedom in Christ alone. And verse 6 is just pretty much a summary of the entire book of Galatians. This verse is addressed to the false teachers who are abusing the word. You see, you just can't pull up a verse and say, here's the Christian truth. All right? We can't do that because the truth in the Bible, truth only has truthfulness in context. You know, it's a complete book. You can't just pick certain parts and use that like some religions do. We have to read the whole story. We have to go by the complete book to get the true word. Amen? Matthew Henry said, no outward privileges or provision will avail to acceptance with God. Without sincere faith in our Lord Jesus, true faith is a working grace. It works by love to God and to our brethren. May we be of the number of those who, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The danger of old was not in the things of no consequence of themselves, as many forms and observances now are. But without faith working by love, without faith working by love, all else is worthless. And compared with it, other things are of small value. In other words, if someone professes to be a Christian and they don't have love for their fellow man or show compassion, we might want to question whether or not they're a Christian. Amen? God is love. We should all be showing love to each other. And we should all be showing compassion for each other. Amen? Faith must work through love. An example, Herod, when had faith that John the Baptist was a true prophet. He knew John the Baptist was a true prophet. But there was no faith expressed by him through love. He didn't express it through love. So he had John the Baptist murdered, right? Real faith, saving faith, will work through love, never through hatred or murder or violence. Real faith is through love, okay? God is love. Amen? Next verse says, we're running a good race. Who cut in and kept you from obeying the truth? What happened? You're running, I got you started. You started running a good race. Paul remembers that their good start in faith. But he also knows it isn't enough just to start well. And they were all in danger of falling from grace. Amen? I remember when I was young, not that long ago. All right? I'm the only pastor that can say that, right? Amen? Where's the love, right? Okay, I remember when I was young that I would run long distance races. I used to run 10Ks, which is 6.3 miles, 2 miles, and half marathons. And I was one of the top runners in the state. I was really good before I started smoking. But I was one of the top in the state at 15 and under. I even broke a couple records here in the state, but no matter how well my races started, if I didn't stay focused on the finish line, I would start thinking about my weaknesses and I would lose sight of the goal. I would lose sight of the finish line. You know, it's the same with grace. We got to stay focused on Christ. Amen? To reach the finish line. It's not just enough that we profess our Christianity, but we got to run well and we got to live up to the profession of Christ. Amen? So, if we're going to talk the talk, we got to... Amen, right? So don't be hindered from your obedience to the truth like the Galatians were. You got to stay focused on the finish line. Amen? Verse 8 says, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one that calls you Jesus. It's talking about how they persuaded in the circumcision, right? So this is important because when Christians turn from truth to error, they almost always try to give God the credit. And the reason they do that is because, you know, they're falling into error, not because they're disobedient, but because they're deceived. They're tricked into it. So they try to justify it by saying that they found a new truth and that the truth is sanctioned by God, that God approves of this new truth. So once again, it's a self thing. You know, they don't want to, they're trying to put the blame on God instead of on themselves. So the con artist, which we could call these Judaizers, the con artist always peddles his goods to those who see his wares as a wise acquisition. Okay, so as an example, whether we're peddling stolen merchandise in some dark alley or we're peddling the false gospel, the methods are identical. We're trying to trick somebody. And the Galatians had been tricked or persuaded, or to put it more clearly, they had been conned. They had been tricked into law instead of the gospel. Amen? So, verse 9 says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So, what Paul is saying here is that the legalist commitment they have right now, circumcision, may seem like a small thing to them. No big deal, right? We're just doing what they want to do so we can get along. It's no big deal. But it's so dangerous that it can corrupt everything. Paul has taught them through faith in Jesus Christ. So, what is a minor correction to Paul's teaching is still a corruption to the gospel. And very dangerous for these Galatians at the time. Amen? So, Matthew Henry says about this, the first beginnings of such leaven or yeast should be opposed. In other words, don't compromise. Never compromise your faith. Amen? Someone comes along trying to trick you, just always remember our faith and our salvation is found in the cross and not in our works. Amen? Verse 10 says, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty. So Paul's wanting to leave this confrontation on a positive note. He's expressing that his confidence in the Lord will be able to keep them even through this issue. Amen? Paul is confident that in the decision and the destiny of the Galatians, that they will avail. Paul's also confident, though, in this verse, that judgment awaits for those who try to lead them astray from Jesus. What he's trying to say is that they will be judged. These Judaizers will be judged. Matthew Henry said, assuredly, those who persist in disturbing the Church of Christ must bear their judgments, if not now, in eternity. Amen? Verse 11 says, brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, this is Paul again telling them, if I am still preaching circumcision, then why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. Paul's making it clear that he no longer preaches circumcision and that he proudly upholds the Christ's work on the cross. And the reason that they're accusing him of preaching circumcision is because in Acts, he asked Timothy to be circumcised. But Paul wasn't doing this so that Timothy could be saved. He was doing it so Timothy could more freely evangelize with the unsaved Jewish people at the time. Okay? So it wasn't about, so they try to use that against Paul, saying that, you know, well, you preach circumcision. But, you know, it was just a one-off thing that he did, you know, so that he could preach the word. He wasn't compromising. He was helping to spread the word, okay? So, he was not compromising. There's nothing more repulsive to the Jew than to think of the Messiah suffering on the cross, like I said. And that's why the Judaizers were so aggressively promoting circumcision and trying to convince people that Paul promoted circumcision as well. And then the last verse, verse 12 says, as for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. So, there's so much on this that I try to put it as gently as I could. All right? So, what Paul is saying here is that he wishes those who demanded the Gentiles to be circumcised would amputate their own genitalia altogether and not just the... So, what a terrible thing to wish, right? What a terrible thing for Paul to wish. But he's teaching these young Christians, these people were teaching these young Christians that they needed to do works for salvation to be complete. Amen? And that's, you know, that's even worse than what Paul's telling them, right? So Paul's just upset, and Paul's making one thing clear. He's saying, legalism is no little thing. It takes away our liberty and it puts us back into bondage. It makes Jesus and His work of no profit to us. And that's what these verses are talking about. It puts us under the obligation of the whole law. We're either the law or grace. Amen? It keeps us from running the race that Jesus set before us. it is not from Jesus. And a little bit of legalism will infect the entire church if we're not careful. Amen? So it's no wonder that Paul wishes that they would even cut themselves off, okay? So now this is a bit extreme. But Paul was protecting his flock. Amen? Just as the pastors do here at Amazing Grace, Paul was protecting his flock. We must never be taken in by false prophets or false doctrine. Salvation is no joke, and forever is a long, long time. Amen? So, I'll close with this. May this book set you free, not to sin, but to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? God's peace be with you.